This season is a big deal to your friends at Royal Air, and right now they'll help you get 50% off your solar installation when you purchase a new Lennox HVAC system. Why not have solar pay for a major portion of your heating and air bills? By combining solar with a Lennox HVAC split system in one package, you could save big. Call Royal Air today at 899-9999 to set up your big deal appointment today.
TLC Grooming by Candace in Paradise reminds listeners of the problems of unwanted pets. So have your pet spayed or neutered, get them regular checkups, and be sure your pet always has fresh water and never ever leave a pet unattended during extreme weather. Proper care will ensure your pet a long, healthy life. This message from TLC Grooming by Candace, located at 5923 Clark Road in Paradise. Call for your next appointment at 530-877-1464. They're folks with warm hearts for those with cold noses.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Good morning, listeners. You are listening to Christ Today on KKXX 930 AM and 104.5 FM. And we have a guest from out of town. His name is Russ McKee. And he's a good friend of mine, been a friend of mine for about 5 years now. And I thought I'd have him come on and share some wonderful information with you today. So, good morning.
Good morning.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Russ?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that the subject today is God putting his laws in our hearts. Like he says, this is a covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And he says some other things, too. But to tell you a little bit about myself, I was born July 4th, 1947, in North Bend, Oregon. And I grew up partly there in North Bend and then in Santa Rosa, California. And Mom would drop me off at a Presbyterian church for a while, then finally she came with me some. But in all that they said there, I guess it wasn't my time to really hear God's voice. I didn't understand a lot of what they said. But okay. I did know that Jesus died for my sins. I even knew that he rose from the dead, whatever that was supposed to mean.
Okay.
And how important that was. I mean, I guess it was important.
you guess. Know? Must have not been that important.
Yeah, right. Now it's everything, you know. But anyway, the one thing I do remember that really got a hold of me, because God really spoke to me, was one time the preacher said, being good is not good enough.
That's right. I'd agree with
that. That's very important.
It is.
Too. And it's very important for every day.
Yeah,
because
a lot of us have been
good deeds can be an act of sin, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I want to stop you for a second. A lot of us have been taught that holiness is living good, and holiness is not necessarily living good.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Continue.
In any case, let's move forward. My band teacher in junior college was having a group of us come over to his house. I'd been into his office once with a group of them, and God had really met me there and let me know that he was after me. When God's after you, that's a good thing, okay?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
The carnal mind, it isn't, but it's a good thing.
Because the carnal mind, it don't make sense.
Yes, that's correct. That's the important thing to understand.
Yeah.
In any case, when I went to his house with the group of them, he said something that blew my mind away.
And what would that have been?
That Jesus Christ is God.
Yeah, we know that, right?
Yeah, but I didn't know it until then.
Oh.
And that blew my mind. And I was still a lost sinner, of course. And he said that in order to get right with God, you needed to ask God to send Jesus into your life to forgive your sins and to make you the kind of person he wanted you to be.
Sounds pretty interesting.
That sounds like a lot of stuff I've heard, asking Jesus into your heart. The trouble is, the Bible doesn't say any of that.
That's true.
How you get saved.
That's
it says,
true.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
You're right. Mm-hmm. So where do people get this ask Jesus into your heart stuff?
Well, you can go to Revelation 3:20, but he's talking to believers there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into Revelation 3:20. But it's a tremendous, you got to put the verse before it with it too, but it's a tremendous passage in Christians experiencing a relationship with the Lord. That's what it's talking about, but that's another subject for another day.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, yes, Christ comes into you. When you get saved, Christ comes into you. Your sins, you experience forgiveness of sins,
mm-hmm.
yes, and all that sort of stuff, and he begins to make you the kind of person you're supposed to be, but that's not how you get saved. That's the result of being generated.
Yeah, it's the fruit on the vine.
Yes, it's the fruit on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the result of regeneration.
Yes.
I normally don't say born again. I say regenerate.
I like that.
Paul uses that term. And everybody says born again. Nobody knows what it means, so I'm going to say regenerate so somebody might stop and think.
Well, can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
Didn't Jesus say to Nicodemus, you must be born again?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He did. In fact, when he said, ye must be born again, that's plural. He was not just telling Nicodemus, but all of Israel.
Oh, okay.
Sent Nicodemus. They all had to be born again.
Okay.
In any case, I remember sitting in my dad's red leather chair, having come home from Santa Rosa Junior College. That was November 28th, the first Monday after Thanksgiving, 1966, 49-plus years ago. And I was sitting there, and I'd been given a book to read called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
I've heard of him.
He'd given me the Encyclopedia Britannica to understand, you know. In any case, it was beyond over my head. And I started to read it, and it said something about what we needed was expensive grace, not cheap grace.
Explain that.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, okay.
And all I knew was somehow the Spirit of God let me know whatever that grace was. It could have been grandma's shoelaces. I had no idea what it was. I needed it, whatever it was.
Hmm.
And then he started wooing me again.
Hmm.
And so I said to him, Jesus, if you are really God, I want you to come into my life, forgive my sins, and make me the kind of person you want me to be. And at that point, I was still a lost sinner. He didn't come in.
Hmm.
Okay? And I knew he wanted me to trust him, but the way I thought of it in those days is he wanted me to give my whole self to him. Well, I'd played the 49, 51, and 99% games, and he didn't buy it.
Hmm.
Because that's not an implicit faith. It's an explicit.
An outward, not an inward.
Well, more importantly is I was running the show, not him.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to tell him where, and then he'd have to pipe dance to my tune. No.
And that's not how he operates.
No. He's God.
Yes, he is.
In any case, I realized as I sat there, knowing he wanted me to say, I give my whole self to you, I didn't have the ability to do it.
Hmm.
And I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was an eternal second or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then this thought occurs, let's do it. And I said in my heart, I give my whole self to you.
Hmm.
It was easy. And yes, just before I said that, there was something in there that caused me to really want to do it, and so I said it.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, that was when I was regenerated, born again. Okay?
Amen.
And things completely changed from then on. I started having a relationship with God, and He started dealing with me in ways that I began to understand and still didn't understand much.
Okay.
And if I were you, I would be asking me a question right now.
Okay.
What is that? Let's do it.
Yeah, what is that? Let's do it all about. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I didn't understand what it was about because I don't think in the plural about myself, and I didn't have a mouse in my pocket. Okay. And so, and I'd always wondered what that was. I understood, I give my whole self to you. I trusted Him.
Mm-hmm.
To believe in, to believe on, that's to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I trusted Him.
Okay.
But it was some 30, 31, whatever years later that God finally caused me to understand what Let's Do It was all about.
So explain that to us.
Okay. I was listening to this Bible teacher preaching on the faith of, not in, the faith of Jesus Christ.
Faith of Jesus Christ. We've been taught the faith
like
in...
like the King James will often say, the faith of Jesus Christ.
And we've been taught
righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and we've been taught faith in Christ, but it's faith of Christ.
Well, maybe both, you know, where it says, King James says, faith of Jesus Christ, it can be translated either way, I am told. But that's not the point.
Okay, continue.
The point is, when he was talking about Christ's faith operational in us, it was at that point that I suddenly realized that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that's not the Scripture of God.
Thank you.
By the Word of God.
Thank you.
God speaking to us, communicating with us person to person, and yes, it's consistent with the Scripture, rightly divided.
Which could have been done by man, not necessarily a book with verses in it.
Yeah, you didn't have to have that there. Okay, faith. Anyway, as I sat there, I suddenly realized, he caused me to realize, that it was him talking to me.
Yes.
When he said, let's do it.
Okay.
That's plural.
Yeah,
that's him and me.
Together. Meaning two, yeah, okay.
That was my first lesson in the Christ life.
Wow.
Christ being my life, and I didn't get it for 30 years.
So what does it mean now to you for Christ to be your life?
Well, that is that's the operative question here, or one of the main operative questions that needs answered. What I had begun to understand is that Jesus wasn't just in me to hang around there like a marble rattling around in a bottle, but he was there as my very life. I had known the Scripture that said, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, which is not talking about the second coming or the rapture, but
which we've
how
also
to live
been taught.
A godly life now. That's the context.
Which we've also been taught,
Okay. And what it says is Christ is our life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you stop to think of it, Christ is our life. Paul talks about that also. He says, I, through the law, am dead to the law. This is Galatians 2:19 through 21. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God.
Mm.
He didn't say live for God. He says live unto God.
Yeah.
Well, what's that mean? Well, he explains it. I'm crucified with Christ. That was the end of Saul of Tarsus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Crucified
Nevertheless,
with Christ.
I live.
Yeah.
Yet not I, and there ego is used in the Greek, which they explain as for emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, there it is, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Yes.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you, etc. Okay. If Christ is our life, then the faith that we would live by would have to be his faith.
Yes, not our
faith. Operating
in
us.
That's right. I agree.
You see, this is consistent. When I put my laws in their hearts and their minds, will I write them?
What laws is he referring to?
He He's not referring to rules and regulations.
Thank you.
He's referring to the way things operate, like the law of gravity, the second or first laws of thermodynamics, this sort of stuff, how things work. In fact, the Ten Commandments can be understood that way, too, but I don't want to spend too much time right now.
No, we're not going to
explain it,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me can be understood as you won't have any gods before me. Oh, what a difference. In Hebrew, in Greek, and in English, so I've been explained that it can be understood that way. And what a change it makes. But the point of Christ being our life is when we are, well, why do we exist?
Tell us.
Why do we exist? I mean, this gets down to the very, why am I here? What's it all about?
I think we're here to glorify God and to give him glory and to know him and to let him be made known through us.
That's the point.
So continue on with that.
That's the point. He created us to experience an intimate, personal love relationship with him so that he could express his glory through us. And that's what's going to be happening in you, in me, and every believer, gazillions of years from now. That's what it's all going to be. There'll be a lot of details and everything, but we will be expressing his glory. Nobody sees a spirit, but people can see Christ living his life through you.
Yes.
Paul made an astounding revelation, not of Christ being revealed to him on the road to Damascus, but listen to Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, where he says, when it pleased God, that's the timing on the issue, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, that he might reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, etc. Revealed his son in me.
In me. In us.
In me.
Yes.
Wow. This was something new and different. This isn't keeping the rules. This isn't you going out and living for Jesus, trying to do something for him.
It's letting him be your life.
What can I do for him that he can't do for himself, only infinitely better?
Letting him be your life.
Yes.
Instead of you focusing.
This is what it's all about.
Instead of the focus being so much on the works, focusing on him and him in you, and the works will be done.
That's the point.
Thank you. Because that's what I try to get across. That's what I try to get across to people, and they don't have any understanding of what I'm trying to say to
them. This is the mark. This is the bullseye. This is the center of the bullseye.
Okay, cool.
You know, in the story of Robin Hood, early on, they've got this contest, and Robin Hood shoots before his father, and he puts the arrow right in the center of the bullseye, a long ways away. Well, how can his father compete?
Yeah.
By splitting the arrow. That's what this is. This is the mark. Now, why do I say the mark? Because the best definition, the most complete to me definition in the Bible of what sin is, the word sin means
miss
to miss
the mark.
The mark. That's what the Greek word means. It means to miss the mark. It's an archery term.
Yes.
And the mark is to split that arrow, okay, that's in the center of the bullseye, okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark and fall short of the mark, the bullseye, which is the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. We all have.
Yes. Therefore, when we do a good deed by the power of the flesh, it is an act of sin because it falls short of the glory of God.
Explain that a little bit.
Okay. If I am not trusting Christ, lost sinners can do good deeds.
Yes, they can.
They do good deeds all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are their righteousnesses filthy rags? It's because they are not expressions of the glory of God.
Yeah.
I remember at times trying to use guilt on people to get them to do what I wanted them to do. Now, I think a few of us may have heard preachers do that, too.
Oh, yeah. A lot of preachers have done that.
Okay, so you go out and you do what the preacher says you're supposed to do, you do the right thing.
We're going to go to break and come right back, Russ.
This season is a big deal to your friends at Royal Air, and right now they'll help you get 50% off your solar installation when you purchase a new Lennox HVAC system. Why not have solar pay for a major portion of your heating and air bills? By combining solar with a Lennox HVAC split system in one package, you could save big. Call Royal Air today at 899-9999 to set up your big deal appointment today.
We're back.
Okay. When somebody does something out of a guilt motivation, is that an act of faith?
No, it's not.
Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Yes.
Therefore, just doing the right deed isn't good enough. It's not an expression of the glory of God.
That's right.
That's why Paul will say, I live, yet not I,
but Christ
liveth in me.
Yes.
And in, I think it's the 10th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, he starts out by saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's after saying he was less than the least of all the apostles.
Yes.
But he ends the verse, I mean, that he goes on to say that he accomplished more than all the other apostles, and yet he says, yet not I, ego, but mm-hmm. the grace of God, which was with me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's God getting the job. Grace is God getting the job done through you. It's not just getting your sins forgiven. It's God getting the job done through you, Christ living his life through you. This is what the Bible is talking about when it talks about walking in love, walking in faith, walking according to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. It's not talking about being in the Spirit when you walk. Yes, all Christians are in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You know, it tells us in Romans 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So the Spirit of Christ has to be in us. We're in, not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. So that's true all the time. But we can walk in the flesh because in that word in doesn't in the Greek word there I have come to understand doesn't just mean in like our narrow English word in narrow in meaning. It's broad. It can mean by. It can mean with. It can mean among Christ. You know, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Well, among and in are the same word. And so when we understand that. That word in means in union with, mm-hmm. by means of,
mm-hmm.
with, not only in the sense of being near, but also in the instrumental sense of, you know, by means of. Wow. Then we begin to see what God wants to accomplish. And if you let the Spirit of God show you, you're going to find this all over the Scripture.
Yes.
Now, let's take a verse that we never hear much about. In John 3:21, he's saying that he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You've heard of wrought iron, worked iron.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wrought, worked, that his deeds are worked in God, with God, by God, in union with God. Okay? The whole issue is for him to express his glory through us in union with us. now, light. What is light?
Yeah, tell us what the light is.
Yes, okay. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
In him there's no darkness.
Yes. In him there is no darkness at all.
So when
God
we're
is utterly light. Our God is a consuming fire.
So when we're in him, we're not in darkness.
You got it. We're always in the light, but is the light being expressed through us? That's the issue. Okay.
Explain. Now go on a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, let's start back a little bit.
Yeah, can we? Would you like
let's
to start?
Let's start back a little bit in the Scripture.
Sure.
There was this fella whose name, there was this being whose name was a light bearer. Or a light carrier, a light bearer.
Okay.
And it's Lucifer, light bearer. You say, whoops, you mean that? Yes, that Lucifer. And in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter of Isaiah, I just realized today it was 14 and 14. Isn't that cute? He comes off with his last I wills when he fell.
Hmm.
And his last one was, I will be like the Most High.
Hmm. Yeah.
He didn't want to be a light bearer or carrier. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be light in and of himself.
And that's where pride came in.
Yes. There you go. And what did he seduce Eve with?
Darkness. Ye
shall be as gods.
Yeah.
You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing good and evil is not a beautiful thing to have. It was a tree of death. God gave him a choice between a tree of life and a tree of death. The devil wanted him to eat from the tree of death, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he worked it out so she thought she had a choice between good and evil. Oh, that's a sales technique that I was taught as a salesman. Oh, boy. you don't want them making the wrong choice, since people want to make choices, so give them a choice that works out either way. You win. And that's what he did. She thought she was doing a good thing. She learned what good and evil was all about. She didn't know it before by choosing to eat from that tree. Well, when she did, she went to work. She broke the Sabbath, because that was people were resting. God was at rest, and so did her husband. She got him to go to work, and people been laboring, struggling ever since, because we're not letting the glory of God flow through us.
Yeah, we need to let His glory flow through us.
See, that's what Sabbath really is about.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Sabbath now.
Well, okay. Well, all this is still dealing with that same subject. It's rest.
Yes.
If you will turn to Hebrews chapter 4, you will notice, and I think it's starting around verse 9 or something like this, it says, therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. And that's not the normal word for rest. It's sabbaton. In other words, it's referring to the high holy days, especially the one the highest, the last day, the great day of the feast, where Jesus stood up and he said with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Yes.
It's that day that he said, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Yes.
Okay. Well, things, they had changed things from what the scripture had said, because certain aspects and added to it, and Jesus was using it. He kind of said it was okay to have done that, because the glory of God was no longer in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. It had left, and God had never put that glory back in there.
Hmm.
And so what they had done is they had several of these great big towers, whatever you want to call them, huge candelabra.
I've heard of that.
And they climb up, they get the young guys to climb up them and pour oil in it and use the priest's garments as wicks. And that I think there are four of them, and it'd light up there in the women's court. It would light up that whole place. And so, almost like daylight. In fact, there wasn't a place in town in all of Jerusalem, if you were outside, that there wasn't a little bit of light there, because of all that light that was given off. And so when Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world, he in essence was saying, I am the Shekinah glory.
Amen.
Okay?
Okay, I've heard of that. Okay.
So, did Jesus ever claim to be God? Well,
he was God.
Yes, well, he certainly said so then.
Mm-hmm.
But this was supposed to be happening. Well, on that day was a day when they were rejoicing at God's provision for them and enjoying and just being full of joy, his joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy of the Lord, your strength, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it was all about. It was looking back to the time in Eden before sin and to the new heavens and new earth where there will be no sin.
Amen.
And everything will be righteousness, and everybody will be at rest. They will be at rest. on the inside. They will be at rest. That doesn't mean lazy. They'll be at rest.
Yeah.
And when he said if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink.
Mm-hmm.
He that believeth in me, just as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living
rivers
water.
Rivers of living water, yeah.
Yes. Well, for years I couldn't find a cross-reference for that. I always wondered what it was until I mentioned it to a guy one day. He said, oh, yeah, I know what that is. He says, that's back there in Ezekiel, dealing with Ezekiel's millennial temple. You just look through there and you'll find it. Well, I started looking around and I found it in Ezekiel 37, the first 12 verses. And that's where the water, the river, flows from the inner part of the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, okay, and flows out, and it becomes wider and deeper the more it goes, and it gives life wherever it goes. And that's, you know,
that's like God.
The picture of the Spirit of God being able to produce the life of Christ in us, through us, and blessing others.
And that's a good picture.
Yes, it is. What is interesting in this is that this is the purpose for our existence, and this is what God wants for us to do, in other words, to let it come out. You know, they ask Jesus, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, there's two ways to take that, and if you're smart, you'll take it both ways. One way to take it that I understood for years was the work that God wanted me to do was to believe. Well,
uh-huh.
That's true.
That is partial truth, yes.
Yes. But it's also God's work to get me to do it.
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Once again, we're not talking about scriptures in a book.
No, you've got it. It's God's personal communication with us.
Exactly.
And so, as we hear his voice today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Okay, Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8, you're involved in that. And also, Paul refers to it, or whoever wrote Hebrews, well, the Spirit did, twice in chapter 3 of Hebrews and once in chapter 4. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Well, what I had to learn is that word to hear is a very broad word. It has many meanings, not just hear. As in today, if you will perceive his voice, hear his voice,
mm-hmm.
comprehend and understand his voice,
mm-hmm.
don't harden your heart. Wait a minute. And it has that other meaning? Oh, today, if you will obey his voice,
observe,
not your heart.
Observe his voice.
Well, yes, it's...
Which is another way of saying obedience.
It's obedience,
mm-hmm.
yes. In other words, if you truly hear his voice, if he's communicating to you and he's speaking words of life to you, he will express his life through you, and so you will do what he wants.
Exactly.
Well, could it be that God is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure?
Exactly.
So working out our salvation with fear and trembling. He doesn't say work at your salvation.
Work it out.
Fear and trembling, but work it out.
But once again, it's Christ working it out through you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
We put the emphasis too much on us and what we're doing and what we're trying to do. And well, I didn't read enough today. I didn't pray enough today. I didn't live like I should have today. I fell short. Yeah, the more we focus on the I, the less Christ is going to be able to do in us and through us. But the more we focus on him, the more it's going to get done, right?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen and amen. And amen and amen.
I think we need to understand who's at work, who's working in us, and whose job is it to get done. It's not our job to get done. It's the Holy Spirit's job and the Lord's job to get done through us so other people will see what's being done through us, so they'll want what's going on inside of us. We try so hard to make it be our stuff that we're doing to try to get the attention and focus of people. And people are so turned off of us because we, in a sense, are hypocrites because we can't live up to it. It's only Christ through us that's able to live up to it. we end up screwing up. People see that. They don't want that. They want the Jesus that's in us, or they want the love of Christ that's in us once they see the love of Christ. And it's not something that can be worked up in of ourselves.
Amen to all of it. That is a bullseye. That's a splitting of the arrow.
God's given me this
stuff. I'm so excited to hear that. That is such good news. That is good news. He that is entered in, well, let's go back to Hebrews 4.
Okay.
The next verse says, he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
That's right.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
So, well,
unbelief, disobedience, how do you translate it, you know?
Why
unbelief,
is there such
disobedience, same thing.
Why is there such an emphasis on works? All the time people are referring and emphasizing on the word works. Why?
Well, let's take a look at this.
Okay.
He says that he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works. It doesn't say he ceased from works.
No, I understand.
He ceased from his own works.
That's what I was getting to. Why is it that everyone's emphasizing on our works instead of the works of Christ?
Probably for the same reason that women, and men do it too, but especially women, want to fix themselves up to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because the glory is missing. And so they're going
Never
to paint on the stuff. It's a fake glory of God.
Mm.
When Adam and Eve sinned, I suppose they lost the expression of the glory of God. And so God had to dress them. You know, the fig leaves weren't good enough. God had to kill an animal and dress them.
Yeah.
Put some clothes on them. And that wasn't just a bikini or something like this. It was from the top of their chin down to their feet, you know, and down to their wrists.
You know what I find interesting? In the book of Genesis, in the beginning, it talks about when we came, we didn't have clothes on. So you got Adam and Eve, they sin, and then they go and they put clothes on. And Christ says, why are you doing? And he said, well, we were naked. And Christ says, who told you? God says, who told you he was naked? Well, they were exactly the way they were before they sinned. So they're just the same way that they were before they did what they did wrong. So Christ said, who said that you were that way? And I think a lot of times people will tell us we're a certain way. And we may not be that way at all. It may be our character, but it may be, you see where I'm having a hard time with my words again, but you see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Can you want to explain a little bit about that, what I'm trying to say?
Well, if I understand you correctly, their eyes were opened and they saw, in other words, their understanding was opened and they saw that they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was how they perceived themselves. God wasn't angry with them.
No, they were angry with themselves.
They condemned themselves.
Yes.
There was condemnation, heart condemnation there, but it wasn't in God's heart toward them, it was in their heart. And since they condemned themselves, they looked at God and said, hey, he must be condemning me too.
Yeah.
Because if I see myself as naked, then he must see me as naked. If I see myself as no good, then he must see me as no good.
And who told us that?
Condemned them, and they projected that onto God. So, see, God condemns me.
Yeah. And who told us that? Right.
That was in their own mind.
Yeah.
It didn't come from God. The condemnation was in the heart of man, not the heart of God. At the great white throne judgment, the condemnation will be in the heart of the lost, not the heart of Jesus. There is a passage. And I can't quote it, so I'm going to turn to it, but it's in John chapter 12. I can almost do it. One of these days I just got to sit down and do it. But wrong page. In verse 47, he says, by the way, I'll read the previous verse.
Okay.
Well, go back a couple of verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Jesus was a perfect man.
Yes.
He wasn't living as God. He was living as a man.
Exactly.
Man. So he was expressing the glory of his Father. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Yes.
And if any man hear my words, Rima, and believe not, I judge him not.
Yes.
For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
Well, let's take another break.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Okay, we're back, Chris.
Okay. He said, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." In the next verse, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," it's a different word for word now, "hath one that receiveth not," that one's the same, "hath one that judgeth him, even the word," here's the different word, "that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day."
Hmm.
The reason that you get a difference between Rhema and Logos here, he's trying to get the point across that if you reject God's personal communication with you, the dead letter of those words will still be there if you don't hear his voice, if you harden your heart.
And we don't want to do that.
And then those words will become your judge.
And we don't want to do, we don't want to harden our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know when we've hardened our hearts?
Well, you don't get saved. When you harden your heart, you're saying, "Hey, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to do it your way." If God is wooing you as a believer to do something or not do something, and you want to do it your way, you're hardening your heart.
Yeah.
You see, the issue is to rest in him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you rest, then he gets the job done through you.
Makes sense.
And he's not upset at you if you screw up,
no.
Even if it's a willful screw up. He's
yeah.
not upset at you, but you sure condemn yourself.
You condemn yourself, that's correct.
You know, that's why it will say in 1 John, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart,
yes.
and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. You'd think that was faith, wouldn't you? Then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. The whole point he's saying there is, if because we need to assure our hearts before him, that's coming into that first verse there that I quoted, the thing is, when we have a clear conscience, I said a clear conscience.
Yes.
When we have a clear conscience, we tend, as believers, we tend to live righteously.
Live righteously, because it's Christ being our life, and he's our righteousness, and he's living it.
There you
yes.
go.
Makes
there
sense.
There you go.
Makes sense.
It's Christ, our life, functioning as our life.
When you first told me about this a few months ago, I didn't have any understanding, and all of a sudden the understanding has come.
Praise God. Well, I'm excited when I hear something like this, because then I know that the only teacher that's worth anything has done some teaching.
And I didn't go to a bunch of scriptures in the Bible to study a lot of it to understand it either. And I mean, maybe I should have, but I didn't. It's just stuff that came to my spirit as I stilled myself before the Lord.
And he showed you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he wants to get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to hear his voice.
Yes.
He wants to bless you.
Yes.
You see, God
and I'm not
is
taking
love.
Away. I'm not taking away from reading the Word. We should desire to read the Word.
Sure.
And I have a hard time with it, but I should be in it more. And I mean, I should be more in it. But I think you can still hear the Word without being in the Scriptures. But that's just my own personal opinion. That's not necessarily what the station believes. That's just my own personal opinion.
I understand. You know, there are some weeks when things are such that I don't even open my Bible for shame, huh?
Only if you see yourself.
The Bible isn't in me, and
that's
that
right.
The Lord isn't talking to me and explaining Scripture to
that's
me.
Right. Amen.
You see, I've spent a great amount of time in times past studying the Scripture and not learning a whole lot from the Lord directly then, But now he's teaching it to me years later.
I think a lot of people have studied Scripture and they understand Scripture, they know Scripture, but do they really know the voice of the Lord?
You've got to know the voice of the Lord, because that will change it.
Exactly.
Can you imagine a fella proposes to a gal, and she says sneeringly, "Of course I will marry you. I can't think of anybody else I would rather be married to." Did she really accept his proposal? Reject it. And yet, the words literally could cause somebody to think that she accepted it.
Yes.
You got to hear the voice to hear what's being said. Okay?
Yep.
And that's what's so freeing when we hear God's voice. We don't hear condemnation toward us.
There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus.
Well, there is condemnation to it, if you allow me to say.
Sure.
Because that verse is a very precious verse to me, Romans 8:1. And for years, I rejected the last half of that verse. And God is being Scripture. And God had me go through a number of years of studying the arguments of textual criticism. And I came out realizing that the Textus Receptus behind the King James and New King James was closer to reality than the other new ones that are coming up, because unbelievers were doctoring it by cutting out Scripture. And I had to learn that there is condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus when we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But the condemnation never comes from God.
No, it comes from us.
Yes. Romans 7, the experience of Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the very evil that I hate, that I do kind of stuff, where I find another law in my members, not rules and regulations, but operating principle. For I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. He's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't condemnation.
That is condemnation.
Condemnation. And you can't experience that kind of condemnation when you walk according to the Spirit, when you let Christ live his life through you, because, as he goes on in verse 2 of chapter 8, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Or is another way that they can translate it, "For the law of the Spirit, namely the life which is in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death."
Understandable. Makes sense.
And so forth. God condemned sin in the flesh, the next verse
tells
us. That the righteousness, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you're letting Christ live his life through you, the fullness of the law is being fulfilled through you. The point is, God wants Christ to come out of you, not you to do something for him in and of yourself apart from him.
That makes sense.
That comes short of the glory of God.
That makes sense.
This is the mark. And then, you see, this principle is throughout Scripture. One of the things that this may be kind of a departure from some things, and that is that, you know, we read in James that faith without works is dead, and a man is justified by works and not by faith only kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you go to that passage and you let the Spirit of Christ teach you instead of what everybody's been telling you what it means, you'll see it says, "So then the Scripture was fulfilled, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness," or however the various ways it says that there. And then it adds, "And Abraham was called the friend of God." If you don't understand that, "and Abraham was called the friend of God," then you don't understand the passage.
Mm-hmm.
Because Abraham was in a covenant relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it was a one-way covenant in terms of who was responsible, because God put Abraham to sleep before God went through the animals that he'd cut up.
Uh-huh.
The smoking fire furnace, you know, went between them. Go read Genesis 15. Abraham was put to sleep, so he couldn't walk through between them like you normally do when you have a covenant.
That's true.
And what happened as a result is God showed that the commitment was all on his part. Abraham accepted it. He had believed in the Lord. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And now God was going to work it out.
Yes, and that's exactly
God
how it
was
is.
Going to work it out.
And that's exactly and how so, it is with us.
And so if you will look at the cross references, there's usually a couple of cross, two, sometimes three cross references there. And it shows what it means for Abraham to be called the friend of God. God was calling Abraham his friend. Mm-hmm. The other way would be legalism, if Abraham were calling God his friend. When you said that somebody was your friend, in covenant lingo, it meant that everything you are and everything you have was at the disposal of the other person to take care of them, to be sure that their needs were met to meet the covenant, and to be sure that they kept the covenant. In other words, the reason Abraham took his son up to Mount Moriah to offer him was because, I'm saying it correctly, God kept his covenant with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because Abraham kept his covenant with God. The reason Abraham did the right thing is because God worked it out through him.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham's taking his son up there to do that was as much a work of God as what happened, what came out of a prophet's mouth when he said, "Thus saith the Lord," and we see it recorded in Scripture, what came out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It was a work of God.
Mm-hmm.
God's glory was manifested. In fact, Abraham told the servant, "You take care of the animals here. My son and I are going to go up and worship the Lord, and we'll be back. We will be back. We will be
he
back."
He already knew, yeah. He knew.
He knew.
Yeah.
God could raise him from the dead if he had to, according to Hebrews 11. So God was going to get the job done. And that's the whole thing, is to let God get the job done.
Well, what we need to understand, let me speak for a minute. What we need to understand is what covenant relationship is. We need to understand what covenant is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that we have a covenant with God, not based on our own efforts, our own acts, our own doings, but because of what Christ did at the cross. And when God looks at us, he sees his son. And we are in his son's identification when we accept his son. It's no longer we identifying to the world. We now identify to Christ. Just because somebody's a little bullheaded or a little rebellious doesn't mean that they're far away from God or they don't know God or don't have a relationship with God. And what we need to come to the understanding of is who we are in Christ. It's not my identity, it's his identity. It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. I am what? I am the righteousness of Christ. Because why? Because he lives in me. And if
there
he lives
go.
In me, he's going to get done in me what he wants to get done. So I don't have to beat myself up, oh, maybe I'm not in the Word, or maybe I'm not praying. Maybe I should encourage myself to be in the Word and in prayer, but I don't have to beat myself up when I'm not. I need to hear the voice of the Lord more than I need to hear the words of man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is such an important thing for people to realize, is that he is our life. And when God sees us, he sees us in union with him because we are in union with him.
We are one in Christ.
He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit.
One spirit.
Look at that context. The context was the Corinthian men fornicating with the temple prostitutes that came from the Temple of Aphrodite is probably what was going on. But they were having sex, free sex with prostitutes, in essence. And they were helping those temple prostitutes, or those vestal virgins, worship Aphrodite, Venus Aphrodite. And Paul told them, you know, he that's joined the Lord is one spirit, after he had said that you become one flesh with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yes.
You see,
we belong
Christ
to
didn't
him.
Leave them because they sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the thing is, they needed to express that union that was already there.
Yes.
And one of the things people might say is, well, how do we more effectively express this union? And I would love to do that if we ever have a chance to talk again. But
we may day one of these days. If not, we'll be able to talk forever when we get to the other side, right?
Well, of course.
But we talk all. You and I talk all the time. But we may be able to get you back on the show sometime in the near
That's
future.
That's what I was meaning.
Yeah.
If you want a couple of passages to look at in how to let Christ live his life through you, would be Romans 6. Especially verses 11 through 14. And another one would be Colossians 3, the first four verses. And both of these have a context, and you got to understand the context.
Okay.
The context in them involves living righteously.
We're coming to the end, Russ. So
I figured as much.
Before we come to the end, is there anything else that you want to say or that you want to briefly say, or do you want to end in prayer?
We can do both.
Okay.
This is God putting his laws in our hearts and writing them in our minds. This is what it's all about,
cool.
that New Testament in Christ's blood. Why don't you pray, brother?
I'm going to let you pray us out.
Okay. Lord, I pray for my brethren that have heard this, that they would have heard your voice, and that you'll cause them to pay attention to what you said here, not what I said, but what you said, and to know the truth that will set them free. Free to be who they are in you because of who you are in them. And I just ask this in Jesus' name, thanking you for it. Amen.
Well, I want to thank all the listeners out there, and we'll be talking next week. And I want to briefly let you know that there's been a change of plans at the radio station with the studio. We will not be having me or Tori continue with the program. Maybe Tori a couple more weeks, but somebody else is coming in, it looks like, to keep the show going. So we will talk more about that next week. We will have a good show next week. And I am getting ready to go on a mission trip to China and to do Youth with a Mission. And I'm looking forward to that. And I want to hope you all have been encouraged today. So until we talk again, have a great week. May the Lord be with you and be blessed.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Just call Royal Air.
It sure feels like spring out there, and now's a great time to get your air conditioner tuned up before the heat really gets here. It's only $89. That's 25% off the normal price. And while the technician is at your home, you can ask him about a new energy-efficient Lennox unit or a complete solar system for your home. Trim that utility bill this spring and save. Royal Air, your local authorized Lennox dealer. Call 899-9999 today. That's 899-9999.